world which the theory of relativity presents to our imagination is not so much a world of things in motion as a world of events. It is true that there are still particles which seem to persist, but these are really to be conceived as screens of connected events, like the successive events of a song. It is events that are the stuff of relativity. Between two events which are not too remote from each other, there is, in the general theory as in the special theory, a measurable relation called interval, which appears to be the physical reality of which lapse of time and distance of space are two more or less confused representations. Between two distant events, there is not any one definite interval, but there is one way of moving from one event to another, which makes the sum of all the little intervals around the world greater than by any other way. This route is called a geodesic, and it is the route that the body will choose if left to itself. The whole of relativity physics is a much more step-by-step matter than the physics and geometry of modern day. Euclidean straight lines have to be replaced by light waves, which do not quite come up to the Euclidean standard of straightness when they pass near the sun or any other planet. The sum of the angles of a triangle still thought to be two right angles, very small regions, but not in any extended region. Nowhere can we find a place where Euclidean geometry is exactly true. Propositions which used to be proved by reason have now become either conventions or merely approximate proofs verified by observation. This is a curious fact, of which relativity is not the only one, but as reasoning improves, its claims to the power of proving facts grow less and less. Logic used to be thought to teach us how to draw inferences. Now, it teaches us rather how not to draw inferences. When men began to reason, they tried to justify the inferences that they had drawn unthinkingly in earlier days. A great deal of bad philosophy and bad science resulted from this invention. It is not altogether easy to see what is to replace these science. But perhaps the theory of relativity gives us a glimpse of the kind of thing we may expect. Causation, in the old sense, no longer has a place in theoretical physics. The collapse of the notion of one all-embracing time, in which all events throughout the universe are related, must, in the long run, affect our views as to cause and effect, evolution, and many other matters. For instance, the question whether on the whole there is progress in the universe may depend upon our choice of a measure of time. Of the laws of these occurrences, we know something. Just so much as can be expressed in mathematical formulas, but of their nature, we know nothing. Of the bodies themselves, as we saw in the preceding chapter, we know so little that we cannot even be sure that they are anything. Events in other places, those events which we should naturally regard as their effects. We naturally interpret the world pictorially. That is to say, we imagine that what goes on is more or less like what we see. But in fact, this likeness can only extend to certain formal logical properties expressing structure, so that all we can know is certain general characteristics of its changes. It's a bit like the relationship between a piece of orchestral music as played. The same piece of music with the score. The resemblance is of such a sort that when you know the rules, you can infer the music from the score, or the score from the music. We can infer just so much about nature as a stone deaf person could infer about music. But a deaf person can ask a hearing one about music. We do not have that advantage. In the last analysis, we cannot be quite sure that the scores represent anything but themselves. Assuming the utmost that can be claimed for physics, it does not tell us what it is that changes, or what are its various states. It only tells us such things as that changes follow each other, periodically, or spread, so to speak. We are in the process of stripping away what is merely imagination in order to reach the core of true scientific knowledge. The theory of relativity has accomplished a very great deal in this respect, and in doing so has taken us nearer and nearer to bare mathematical science. To the non-mathematical mind, the abstract character of our physical world may seem unsatisfactory. From an artistic or imaginative point of view, it is perhaps depressing. But from a practical point of view, it is a focal point. Abstraction, difficult as it is the source of practical power. Financier, whose dealings with the world are more abstract than those of any other practical person, is also more powerful than any other financier. Financiers can deal with weak or profit without needing ever to have seen either. All they need to know is whether the price will go up or down. This is abstract mathematical knowledge, at least as compared to the knowledge of the agriculturist. Similarly, the physicist knows nothing of matter except certain laws of its being, nevertheless knows enough to be able to manipulate it. After working through a whole string of equations, in which the symbols stand for things with intrinsic nature and other dimensions, the physicist arrives at last at a result which can be interpreted in terms of our own perception, utilized to bring about desired effects in our own lives. What we know about matter, abstract and schematic as it is enough in principle to tell us the rules according to which it produces perceptions and feelings in ourselves. And it is upon these rules that the practical uses of physics depend. The final conclusion is that we know very little. And yet it is astonishing that we know so much. And still more astonishing that so little knowledge can give us so much power.